This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Craig Earlham, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, with me going through the business headlines. Craig, good morning to you. Let's start off with that stock market tumble versus around the world. What's going on?
The latest moves that we're seeing in the UK, but also across Europe more generally with regards to the coronavirus, has sent people into a bit of a frenzy. I don't think it's too extreme at this point in time. Already today, the futures market suggests we're opening a little bit higher, pairing some of those losses. Mm-hmm. But the memory, obviously, of the last kind of shutdowns, the last restrictions, weigh heavily. And it seems that we are moving towards a point where life is going to become much more restrictive. And ultimately, that's extremely bad for business and the economy. And I think that's why we see the kind of moves that we saw yesterday in many of these stock markets, particularly across Europe.
We saw in the US over lockdown stocks really taken away from their sort of real economic connections. While economies were continuing to sort of either slow down entirely or begin to very slowly recover, the stock markets were just exploding. Do you think that this is a sense of reality coming back to markets?
Especially in the US, we saw that at that point the tech stocks really overperformed and distorted what the actual situation was really looking like over there. And even yesterday, you look at the FTSE ended down 3.38%. The S&P and Dow were between 1 and 2%. The Nasdaq even less so. Apple finished up 3%. So there is this clearly this perception still that these tech stocks are pandemic proof and that they are almost a safe haven in these moments. So you could potentially see a similar situation evolving where the overall market is still suffering as a result of any restrictions and lockdowns which are imposed, but the tech sector continues to outperform, and almost particularly in the US where it is far bigger than it is over here, continues to drive stocks in an alternative direction. But I think across Europe the message is quite clear, where the stock markets did very much end up in the red, more than 3%, more than 4% in some cases, as a result of the risk of these lockdowns. And I think obviously when we look at the numbers which are emerging with regards to cases, Europe does seem to be right back in the firing line. Mm.
What about commodities? So at the beginning of the lockdown, obviously oil took a hit. Now OPEC had talked about getting back up to 97% of production by the end of the year. This must be a blow to their forecasts.
That became a kind of distant dream many weeks ago. And even last week when we saw the OPEC report on oil demand, and we saw the IEA, the International Energy Agency, their report on demand for the rest of the year and next, those forecasts had already quite dramatically changed, and it became quite evident that the air travel, even car travel had been significantly reduced throughout that period, and the demand was not going to recover on quite the same trajectory. To be honest, it was quite a bold estimate anyway, and I think anyone I spoke to kind of saw those forecasts and thought they were a bit overly optimistic.
Do you think it was just about protecting the price at that point?
I think so. I think that's an important part of what they're trying to do, but they don't want to always have to cut production in order to protect price. And I think we've seen the power of the voice with regards to central banks for many years now have believed that forward guidance has been an essential part of their policy toolkit. And I think maybe OPEC was trying to adopt a similar action. And we even saw late last week the Saudi energy minister effectively threatening or at least challenging people in the market to go short on oil, effectively saying that it will be extremely painful for them if they choose to do so, effectively saying if you go short the market and the market does fall, we'll just cut production and prices will bounce and you'll be hurt far more than we will. So effectively challenging people to short the market. Unfortunately, what's happened since means that oil fell 5% yesterday, even despite these threats. So now you're going to see an interesting standoff between the world's major oil producers and arguably the world's most important oil state and the broader markets. Because ultimately, while you may have Fed stimulus, Bank of England stimulus, ECB stimulus, everything supporting these stock markets during these times of turmoil, oil very much is just a supply demand story, and therefore when we do see big shocks, big potential shocks to demand, the price is going to fall regardless unless the supply side adjusts as it did previously in order to try and sustain these levels. So if this sell-off continues, I think it won't be too long before we see OPEC Plus reconvene and more production cuts are made.
An expensive game of chicken. Let's move to the UK, where we have new coronavirus restrictions coming in this week. So from Thursday, pubs, bars, restaurants must all close at 10 p.m. on the dot, and an end to bar service, so everything must be table service. It's quite a change from where we were a month or so ago, eat out to help out.
We also have to remember that, for example, the Eat Out to Help Out scheme was about getting people into these places. And what the government's trying to do right now is not to stop people going in altogether, it's to stop people going in during certain periods. They have long suggested, actually, that the transmission of the coronavirus seems to be taking place more during these kind of social gatherings in the home or elsewhere. So I don't think they want people to stop going out to these businesses. They maybe just want to restrict how they behave while they are there. And the idea that post 10 o'clock, maybe the kind of social distancing is not going to be as effective as it will be prior to that, for obvious reasons.
If there was an hour difference, you know, 10 p.m, 11 p.m. in terms of last orders, obviously that 10 p.m. Deadline is hard, but can't you just imagine that people will be just drinking a little earlier in the evening, or drinking even further, if it is the relaxing that is the issue here?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, it's a really tough balancing act. I think, let's be honest, the government is in an unenviable position. But as you say, all that's going to happen is just going to slightly modify people's behaviour. And I don't think it's going to have too big a difference, if I'm perfectly honest. The biggest difference may just actually be felt in terms of the ability of these businesses to actually make a living, because they've found life extremely tough. Their cost base has gone up. You're making life harder during a critical part of their trade. It's not like people are just going to start drinking at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday. Instead, people do still go to work. It's those hours later on in the day when these pubs do make their trade. So it's going to make life more difficult, and it's also going to force people to reevaluate whether they want to go to the pubs at all, or whether they just rather socialise at home. And all of a sudden,
which obviously is the problem. Yeah, exactly.
Which, as I said earlier, that's where this disease seems to be getting transmitted more. So I think the government's making life harder for itself and almost making the rules more complex once again. And as we've seen previously, the more complicated these rules become, the less people pay attention, and that's quite dangerous.
It feels as though, and we've spoken about this on the programme before, it's government by nudges. So 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. is not going to make a huge amount of difference in terms of transmission of the disease, but it will make people think something has changed. This isn't normal, and that might modify people's behaviour. The problem, as you say, is these rules we've had in such quick succession that really there's uncertainty about where we are in terms of how serious the illness is, and also how serious the rules are.
So I think one thing's clear is that you can understand the logic behind it. We've both been in the pub after 10 o'clock, and you see that once the alcohol has been flowing and you can see that people's behaviour is changing, you can understand the logic or the rationale behind some of these decisions. But we are also both on social media, and you can also see the people's reaction to all of these changes. And I think you've highlighted one earlier on. One minute the government's encouraging you to eat out to help out, and the next minute they are telling you that you shouldn't really be going out at all, especially not late on in the evening. They're sending extremely mixed messages. I think one of the risks here is the government's almost trying to be too clever, despite the fact that you can see the rationale with some of these moves. They're almost trying to be too clever to the point that they're appearing to at least undermine their own messages, and that sends a confusing message to the people who you're asking to enforce it, and so ultimately it leads people to decide that they don't need to, because the government clearly doesn't believe everything that it's actually trying to tell you.
So
that's a big risk in itself.
So clever that they appear to be stupid, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I agreed back with the Eat Out to Help Out scheme, and we've discussed this on the show before, and I think it was a huge success. And I do think there is a difference between encouraging people to go to a restaurant where these socially distancing efforts have been made to ensure that people can socially distance quite easily, and telling people that they don't necessarily want them in a pub late at night. I do think there's a difference between the two, but I don't think everyone is is going to necessarily agree with me first and foremost, and I think many people are not going to necessarily see the difference, and they're going to see it as just sending these very mixed messages and constantly changing your mind on what's acceptable. And I know that the alert level's gone up from 3 to 4, and therefore that requires different approaches. But equally, we've known that this is coming for some time. We know that the winter was coming. We know that a second wave was coming. So people are going to be looking at this now. And while I personally believe the Eat Out to Help Out scheme was a good idea and it was something that was successful, there's going to be many people now who are saying, why did you spend all this government money? Why did you encourage people to go back to bars and restaurants which, if you don't believe it's a good idea? And therefore, you're undermining your own message and you're undermining your own efforts. And as you say, you're trying to be so clever that everyone ends up just thinking you're a bit stupid.
One more topic before I let you go. Overnight, the editor of China's Global Times Daily has said that Beijing won't approve the TikTok deal in the US. Now, obviously, Chinese media being what it is, the Global Times Daily, we can assume that this is Beijing's view. This isn't some kind of outrider. What does this mean in terms of, I suppose, the run-up to the election, this difficult foreign policy balancing act?
Yeah, it's long been suggested that any for sale of TikTok was never going to be taken too easily and that it was never going to be too straightforward. The Oracle deal seemed to be almost this kind of perfect tie-up. It allowed China to save face. It allowed the US to not disappoint the 100 million subscribers to the service, the user base, just ahead of an election campaign, and give people more reason to be almost frustrated with the Trump administration. But it was always going to be this fine balancing act, and it felt like they'd kind of struck a good deal that could potentially satisfy both sides. But clearly, if this is coming straight from Beijing, then it's not going to be that straightforward. It's almost as if Beijing is calling Trump's bluff, saying there's 100 million people here, you're going into an election, every single vote counts, and you are behind in the polls. Do you really want to be the person whose final act almost is to disappoint and frustrate more than 100 million people? So that will be an interesting move as far as Beijing is concerned, maybe potentially a small risk. But then again, it was long suggested prior to this that they may see something like TikTok as a sacrifice worth making in the broader scheme of things.
Craig, thank you for your time this morning. That's Craig Earlham, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.